They formed on the plain at dawn. Man and beast and machine spread across the hard brown dirt in a line 100 meters across. There were horses and jeeps and pickup trucks with heavy machine guns mounted on the flatbeds. They numbered only 50 men, and the villagers counted 100 times that. But they were committed men, warriors united under the banner of heaven, sons of Tamerlane. The commander stood in the rear of his Hilux pickup, binoculars to his eyes, surveying his target. He was tall and formidable, and he wore his black wool turban piled high on his head, the trailing folds wrapped tightly around his face to guard against the bitter cold. His name was Sultan Hawk. He was 30 years old. He had been imprisoned for 6 years, 23 hours a day, in a small, clean cage in a hot place, far, far away. In deference to his name and to his habit of growing his fingernails long and keeping them as sharp as a bird of prey's talons, his jailers had called him the Hawk. The Hawk studied the cluster of low-slung mud buildings situated among the foothills 2 kilometers away. Through the mist, he could make out the town bazaar. Already shopkeepers were at work setting out their wares. Vendors cooked meat over brazier fires. Children and dogs ran up and down alleyways. He lowered his binoculars and looked at his men. Arrayed on either side of him were 6 vehicles identical to his own, battered Toyota 4x4s with mounted 30-caliber machine guns. His men crouched at the base of the armament, Kalashnikovs clutched and ready, spare clips tucked into the leather bandoliers strung across their chests. Several among them carried old Soviet-era RPGs. In between the trucks, 20 or more horses moved anxiously, steam issuing from their nostrils, hooves pawing the ground. Their riders held their mounts at bay, waiting for the signal. The men wore no common uniform. Their clothes were ragged and dirty. But they were an army all the same. They had trained and drilled together. They had fought and been blooded. They were without mercy. Sultan Hawk raised a hand into the air. As one, the gunners cocked the machine guns. The sound of metal striking metal reverberated across the barren landscape. The horses whinnied madly. He closed his fist, and his men rose to their feet and let out a fierce cry. Throwing back his head, Hawk joined them, feeling the spirit of his ancestors rise within him. Closing his eyes, he envisioned the rampaging horde. He saw thundering hooves and flashing swords and smelled acrid smoke filling the air. He heard the screams of the vanquished and tasted death on his tongue. He opened his eyes and returned to the present. Once more he was at home on the flatlands of eastern Afghanistan. He pounded his fist on the roof of the cab, and the pickup roared to life and accelerated across the fallow fields. In a few short months, these same fields would come to life as the poppy awoke, grew, and bloomed. Last year these fields had yielded 3,000 kilos of raw opium, earning its farmers millions of U.S. dollars, more than enough to purchase stores and weapons to equip 1,000 of his men. The village must be brought under the Taliban's white flag. It was a question of economics, not religion. A bullet cut the air above Hawk's head, and a split second later the crack of the gunshot reached his ear. Dispassionately, he watched as the villagers armed themselves and formed a hasty skirmish line. Still, he held back from giving the order to fire. Seconds passed, and the air was alive with gunfire, lead whizzing past like a swarm of angry bees. A shot splintered the windshield of the pickup next to him. He glimpsed a spray of blood, and the vehicle peeled off. It was time.
"Commence firing,"
he said into his two-way radio. The first mortar landed in the center of the village bazaar. A geyser of dirt shot into the air. A second mortar exploded, followed by a third. Confused and unsure of where to direct their fire, The skirmish line broke. The hawk looked on with satisfaction. He had positioned two squads on the higher ground south of the village to deliver fire from the rear while he attacked from the front. It was a classic hammer and anvil maneuver as taught by the United States Army Handbook of Infantry Tactics. Remarkably, he had found the handbook in the prison library. He had committed every page and illustration to memory. The truck climbed a rise and the village came into full view. It was a scene of chaos, with men, women, and children scrambling in every direction, seeking cover where none was to be had. Turning, he tapped the gunner on the shoulder. The machine gun roared to life, spraying the square in disciplined bursts as gunners from the other pickups opened fire. Bodies dropped to the ground. Entire walls of shops and offices disintegrated and collapsed. A house caught fire.